Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 18 in our teaching on the life of Daniel titled, The Spirit of the Antichrist, Part 3. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
We welcome everyone here this morning. And as we begin our morning encounter with the presence of God. Amen. And, it's amazing how it is just with the spiritual life and being children of the Most High God, how you just, life is like that. You feel like you just about get thrown off of a truck or something when you're trying to catch up with the things of the world, or just stay in the Spirit might be the best choice. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for today. Lord, I pray that as everyone has set their time aside this morning to come and be with your people and to be in your house, that they will not leave disappointed. But most of all, God, we pray that you're not disappointed. Because the way we understand it, Lord, you wanted to create us so you'd have somebody to fellowship with. So that tells me you get lonely. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll not be lonely here today. I pray that you'll be happy and fellowship with us, and we'll fellowship with you. And you'll teach us more about the definition of your creation fellowshipping with the Most High God. Lord, you're the big one, we're the little one, and you treat us like we're the big one. You make us as out to be a big deal. And why in the world you do it, I don't understand, but I accept and I receive that you see us all as a big deal. And for somehow or another, in the scheme of things, that makes you happy. And if that makes you happy, I'm happy. I don't understand it, but I just believe it. So, Lord Jesus, let us make you, as they said in that video, I pray that we'll make you famous today. That we'll make you known in this place. Ultimately, you'll be known upon the face of the earth. And dear God, we thank you that you've allowed us at this point in time in our lives to have the revelation of the kingdom of God and have the revelation of what you're doing on planet earth. And Lord Jesus, just teach us by the revelation of your Spirit. Fill us, O God, more and more each day with your Spirit. Let us understand what that means. I do not claim to understand what that means. Just know we need more of it. So, Lord Jesus, we pray that this day will be a special day in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We do welcome you here this morning in the teaching of the book of Daniel. I hope that you're getting some understanding of where we are in this day. I know this book can appear to be a little overwhelming with its names and its numbers and symbolism and all of that, but always keep in mind you're trying to catch the spirit of the book of Daniel. And as we teach and talk about the book of Daniel, the spirit of the book gets in you. And it's the spirit of the book of Daniel, it's the spirit of the one man named Daniel that we're after and we're wanting to get in us. So that's what happens when we study the book. And if you don't get every little jot and tittle, as the Bible says, if you don't get every one of those, it's okay. Because we're going for the Spirit. In the book of Daniel, it is just so amazing. If you think about the one called Daniel, that it's one thing to read the book of Daniel and say, well, Daniel's a great prophet. Daniel was a great man of God. We can look at it with that in mind. But we almost separate ourselves from the reality of how this really happened to Daniel. It was a real thing. God was speaking to Daniel. We do also understand that when God speaks to us in prophecy, and as he was speaking to Daniel, the revelation still came to Daniel through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, if you will, is like a radio. It allows you to dial in to the right frequency in which God is speaking to you and to me. When you got born again, you stumbled upon the frequency of the kingdom. And God turned up the volume a little bit and you plugged into it. You heard it. You heard it from within. And the frequency of God's spiritual channel is given to us by the revelation of the Spirit. So we try to sometimes work things out in our minds and not quite get in the frequency. We say, oh, yes, I know this, and I know this, and I know this. But yet the life of it, of the Spirit, doesn't come through. God wrote in symbols because He found it necessary to give His revelation to those that He wanted to give it to. So you couldn't just read it and intellectually get it. You had to read it, and as God's divine Spirit gave you revelation of what He wanted you to know, then you got that revelation. So therefore, we can be studying the book of Daniel, and the Spirit of God can reveal something to you that He's not revealing to me. He can reveal something to each one of us that's a little different. If He can do it, He'll do it on a personal level, and He'll do it on a national and international level. So, as with that in mind, as we're looking at Daniel chapter 7, I put this in there so you can get it within your notes and you can study it and you can look at it. But the little horn of chapter 8 is historical, while the little horn of chapter 7 is to be revealed in the future. Here we have the chapters kind of flip-flop, which one's historical and which one's revelatory. And it is one is of an actual leader and the other one is of the leader to come. We covered that. I tried to cover that a little bit last week. I don't know how well I did that. Near and far fulfillment, that's what we have with chapter 7 and chapter 8. We have prophecy that's historically happening now, and then we see that it's a prophecy within a prophecy of something that's going to happen in the future. Prophecy often had both an immediate or a near history and a distant fulfillment, thus applying the situation to the prophet faced and also to a future time. This multiple fulfillment is one way of explaining how historical events can anticipate future ones. Now, this also allows you to know how spirit world and the natural world interact and interrelate. And I've said it like this, you've heard the term history repeats itself. Well, what happens is, historically in future, have a lot, they interrelate with each other. Rick Joyner had a dream this last week. I posted it up. I don't know how many people, did you happen to hear a dream at Rick Joyner? There's a few here that have. He had this week about ISIS and how it relates in this dream he had to America. It was a very interesting dream that he had. So interesting that you could tell that he was visibly shaken by his own dream. But it was a future event that his dream was speaking about. And I believe if events do not change, because there again, he was giving, what he was seeing was the desire of the dark side in America through ISIS. He was seeing future, a desire. It can be future unless something changes, something happens. And you can go online and view that if you get more understanding of that. But that's the way prophecy is. It can be happening now, but it also can be speaking about the future. Now, Daniel 8:23, I'm going to try to finish up Daniel chapter 8, get into chapter 9 today. And this is verse 23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king, a fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. This stern-faced king describes both Antiochus the Fourth and the Antichrist at the end of the human history. So there you have it in chapter 7 and chapter 8. One's Antiochus, the other one is the Antichrist. We know that his spirit is a type of the Antichrist. Now, Gabriel moves ahead to the Great Tribulation and describes the Antichrist, or the beast. The earth is under Satan's control and dominion right now, but he'll hand over his power to the Antichrist. We see that in Matthew chapter 4 and on 8. So the Antichrist is empowered by Satan himself. We see this in verse 24. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. When you try to destroy, now watch this one. When you try to destroy Israel, you are operating under the influence of the spirit of the Antichrist. Period. That's just the end of it. When you try to destroy Israel, when you're watching the news or whatever, and you see somebody trying to destroy Israel, you can know, according to Daniel, what you're looking at is the spirit of the Antichrist. So think about that if you ever have a comment you want to make against Israel. One reason I threw that one in there. Now, in Revelation chapter 13, in verse 2, and the beast, it says this about it, which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and the mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power. Now, this is in the book of Revelation. And his seat and great authority. The dragon is Satan himself, an unholy trinity of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. This happens in the book of Revelation. You have this unholy trinity trying to duplicate the real trinity. Now, see, the battle of the ages is when we want to make ourselves, we can say, oh, that's the devil. He does that. But what about the times we try to make ourselves our own God? We're a God. We're our own God. So you see, we can take on the same spirit of that, pride, arrogance, all of that is contrary to the spirit of Christ, but it is in a relationship with the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, Matthew 24 says this, and when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the Daniel the prophet, here we see Jesus referring back to Daniel the prophet. He's speaking about the time of the abomination of desolation. Does anybody know when that is? The abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist sets up sacrifices and worshiping him in the temple. Right, we know there's not a temple now, but there will be a new temple built. And it's in that new temple that the Antichrist will bring this about. We do know for a fact that there are people ready to build a new temple. The articles that are used in the temple have been made. So are we on the brink of the new temple being built? The answer is yes, we are. Stand in the holy place, also readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the mountaintop, housetop, not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Now, according to the Antichrist, the abomination that causes desolation is ultimately yet to come. We know that it had not happened yet because Jesus referred back to it as a futuristic event. Now, in Revelation 13:7 is a parallel verse, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nation. Time of tribulation. Now let's go into verse 25. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princesses, but he shall be broken without hand. Do you see that? That is important. Now today we got to understand, has this event happened? No. Is the spirit of the Antichrist already here? The answer is yes. Spirit of the Antichrist is here. It will precede his coming, just like we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church precedes the second coming of Christ. So there is now a battle between us and the Holy Spirit within us and the spirit of the Antichrist. Does anybody see that one? So this is the battle. It's the battle of the Spirit. It's where we see us right before the great battle of the end of the ages. And that's when the dragon or the Antichrist tries to come against Jesus himself. We have this physical battle that we'll see. Up until that time, which is very soon, it appears, we have a battle of the Holy Spirit against the battle of the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, if you'll notice, a church that doesn't embrace the power of the Spirit is a church that's void of the power of the Spirit. Now, we are not guilty of making it void of the power of the Spirit of God. I feel as though we're prehistoric, if you allow me to use that terminology, and how to move in the power of the Spirit. But I think we're learning on how to move, and I would rather move very prehistorically is not move at all. Because we're honest about trying to move in the power of the Spirit. We're honest in saying we don't really know what we're doing, but we don't have time to wait. So we're going to try to move and learn along the way. Is that okay? So we find ourselves kind of stumbling and stammering, and I'm sure we leave ourselves wide open for criticism on how we administer the Spirit, but we know a truth, and that is everybody else doesn't know any better than us. So we walk freely in that truth. So we are on a quest to walk with God in the power of the Spirit, because we understand there is a war going on out here between the power of the Spirit of the Antichrist and the Holy Spirit engaging on this planet right now. And ultimately, the plan is for the souls of men and women. Ultimately, it is about gathering in the great harvest. Now, the signs and wonders and all of this will follow those who believe. So we want to be about the gospel of the kingdom, which is the battle of souls and men, of men and women and children. That's the battle. That's the great battle. These signs and wonders will follow us as we're engaging the battle. Let us not get in the wrong battle mode, and let us not just. We are beat up, and a church is a hospital for beat up Christians. You need to come here and get healed and set free, and all of the above. But we understand this is a hospital for the casualties of war. War being, we're fighting the battle, we're taking the gospel of the kingdom. The battle is over the souls of men and women and children. In the course of that, you're going to get beat up. Come to Jesus and get the stuffings beat out of you. Amen? That's exciting. That's exciting. This is not a ushy-cushy place to be. On the planet of Earth right now, being part of the body of Christ. We're in a war. We're in a battle. But we just need to understand what's happening, what's going on. Jesus did come to heal us and to set us free and all of those things, but it's because we have incurred this in the time of battle for the souls of men and women and children. So let us not lose sight of that. Now, broken supernatural. The Antichrist peace plan will deceive the people of the earth. When the Antichrist stands up against Jesus Christ, he'll be broken by the word of Jesus speaks. The power of God is so great that no physical force will be necessary to break the Antichrist. Somebody say glory, hallelujah. You see, here's what happens. The word of the Lord defeats the Antichrist. He's got a sword, but it's coming out of his mouth. You see. So, we can understand our commander-in-chief has a sword, but it comes out of his mouth. It's the Word of God. So we also, operating under the power of the Spirit, can understand that we have a sword. It comes out of our mouth. What we pray and what we declare is a weapon. We don't have to walk around wimpy and saying, if I could get my hands on them. Well, if you could, you'd lose. Because you don't fight. We don't fight that way. So, that's, I think, pretty good to know. Now, here's a type of the Antichrist. He shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. No man will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark of the beast. He shall magnify himself in his heart. He is given a mouth speaking blasphemies with a power to continue 42 months. Now, the reason it is amazing, we want to be careful on what we say is not the Holy Spirit. Well, let me go this far. You don't even have to say what's not the Holy Spirit. Just be set free. And why do I say that to you? Because it's in me. I find it in myself wanting to be critical of what I'm trying to. And I think we're supposed to look and discern and to tell these things. But I promise you, a true move of the Holy Spirit will stretch you beyond what's acceptable to you. So one of the first things that's going to happen to you is if it's the Holy Spirit, it's going to be unacceptable to you. So when you feel that way, it's qualified. It is, because the Pharisees, they were offended by it. I mean, Jesus healed people and did all these things, and the first thing they did is said it was of the devil. You see. So what the spirit of the Antichrist, it says, this is what's of God's of the devil. Now, that is a tremendous battle within me. There's a religious spirit in me. for some reason, there's a part of me that feels like I'm supposed to police what's God and what's not. Anybody else got that one? Okay, come on. We all, it's in probably all of us a little bit. What does that? It's a religious spirit. A religious spirit is tied with the spirit of the Antichrist. We can just trust God. He's not, if we're going to ask for the Spirit, the Bible says He's not going to give us a fish. Right? So if we're asking for the Spirit in Jesus' name, it's coming out of our mouth. Do we need to discern? Yes, we need to discern. Does that mean that we need to be on a bandwagon of what's God and what's not God and all of this? The only thing I can tell you is my experience has been you'll get more of what's not God than what is God. That's what you're after. Because it's amazing to me, when I was in Toronto, at the, what they call the Toronto Blessing, and it had a lot of the different manifestations of the Spirit, they would call it, people jerking, people falling down, and all this sort of stuff, and people laughing and all this kind of crazy mess. And I've told y'all the story. By the time I got out of there, the laughter thing hit me. And I think God was so laughing at me, I finally joined Him or something. But the manifestations of the Spirit as I was... I wasn't slain in the Spirit, laying on the floor. I was on the floor because I couldn't get up because I was laughing so hard. Either way, I was on the floor. And one time, trip while I was on the floor... the Lord, I asked the Lord, I said, well, Lord, why? Yeah, I mean, come on. God, you got to give me some rational thinking here. Why is it that you got people being slain, people being laughter, all of this criticism, God? I mean, don't you think you could present it in a way that you didn't incur so much criticism? You know, and I was talking to God, you know. And I had a vision. I had an open vision laid on the floor of Toronto. And in the vision, there were people in a circle with all of the different, what we would call the manifestations of the Spirit. And what we're calling the manifestation of the Spirit is ever how you react when God, when you encounter God. When you encounter God, some people cry, some people laugh, some don't do anything. Some fall out, some people, just like I say, don't do it. Some jerk and some do all these things, which is very offensive to my intellectual mind. I mean, it just is. I'm like, God could do better than that, but I understand it's not necessarily God. It's how a person reacts to the true presence and revelation of God's what it is. And trust me, when you truly run into a revelation of God that you don't have right now, it will affect you. So anyway, in this vision, these people are in a round circle, all different types of manifestations. I was actually outside the circle, and all of this was going on. And right inside that circle was the presence of God. It was like a cloud. It was a yellow cloud for some reason in this vision. It was right in the middle of the circle of all these people doing all this goofy stuff. And right in the middle was the presence of God. I was on the outside of the circle. And I said, Lord, why? What's going on? And He said, you have to press through the manifestations to see my glory. Did you get it? He said, the manifestations, He said, the religious spirit can't get past the manifestation. So the manifestation is the protection of the glory. Anybody get it? Isn't that amazing? It's amazing in that conversation with God. I kept saying, well, couldn't you find an opening somewhere? But if you can feel what I'm saying, the intellectual mind, religious spirit mind, can't hardly press through. But if we can press through a manifestation, what does that mean? It means you're not offended. You're okay. The presence of God, it is protecting the presence of God from the human spirit. It's protecting the presence of God from your critical, intellectual, religious mind. And which means I had to lay there and say, okay, God, I get it. But okay, God, you're going to have to help me through this. So I stand here before you today, I can totally press through it. I can also stand here before you today and say, every time I see it, I bump it. And I have to say, oh, Toronto, got it, God. And all of a sudden, click, I can go right through it to see His presence on the other side of that. And you're just looking at a human encountering a true revelation of God. That's all it is. And you can have more of a revelation of God than you've got right now. I mean, believe it or not, you know, you can have more of a revelation of the presence of God than we have right now. And just like when I was there, I was asking these people who was kind of flopping and carrying on, and I'd go up to them and ask them, I said, well, what are you feeling? And they said, God loves me. You know, they just shake and just carry. I might take them 5 minutes to say what I just told you, but they're just, I'm like, but listen, if you can hear what I'm saying, they were in encountering a revelation of a truth that I was not encountering. They were getting a touch that I wasn't getting. Their touch was such a revelation that God loved them. They were really, you can say, well, I know God loves me. Not like that person knows God loves them. No, I'm sorry. No, God loves, Jesus loves me, this I know. That was a different revelation than that. That was not that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. So, it's okay if I didn't have it. And it's wonderful that I know that I didn't have it. Because you got to know you don't have for you can get. So I was lined up to get what I didn't have. And I got it. And that's when the laughter just completely wiped me out. I was history. Totally history. But I had to get beyond my critical spirit of what somebody was doing and if it was God or not. That's all I had to do. That's pretty hard to do, isn't it? Is that not hard to do? Everybody doesn't encounter God just like you are, but you're not satisfied with where you are with God. And we want everybody to be like us. And we're coming to church hoping that God will press us beyond where we are. So if He's going to oppress us beyond where we are, that means we've got to be offended today and get beyond an offense, because the offense is protecting the glory of God from you and from me. But He will share it with us if we can press beyond that. And you can look at others around you and with the glory and the power of God, some experience it and some do not experience it. The further away from God I get in a week's time, the more intellectual I get. Is anybody else like that one? You know, the more I operate out of my head instead of my heart and my spirit. So I can tell when I'm getting further away from God because I get smarter. You got a witness. But the closer to God I get, the more dependent upon Him I am. And it's that dependency upon Him and now trusting Him. And the great one to get beyond is me trusting God in you. Wow. Can I trust the Holy Spirit? I can trust the Holy Spirit in me, but can I trust the Holy Spirit in another? And as this church, as we are able to lead the spirit of the Antichrist, I promise you, you can't bring it in and see the glory of God. You can't bring the critical. You can't, when somebody is, you know, I'm sure that, hopefully I'm not the only person in here, when somebody gets up and says something, you know, spiritually or whatever, and they get up and say it, and I'm like, boy, they sure miss God. Am I the only one that experiences this phenomena? Okay, I see a lot of that. I don't see any hands going up. It's okay. All right. What that is, I once again am encountering my opportunity to meet God. That's all it is. Because it's so amazing to me, somebody come up here and say something or something can happen or whatever, and I'm like, boy, did they forever miss God. After church, without fail, a person would come up to me and said, you know what so-and-so said? That so caught me right here. I'm like, it got me right here. And they said, well, boy, just when they said that, I'm like, boy, did I miss God. So I'm trying to get beyond. I don't have to get it. But I can trust the Holy Spirit in somebody else. That means the revelation maybe wasn't for you, but was for somebody else. Just say glory, hallelujah, because we're trusting God here. That God's doing what he wants to do. And this absolutely has nothing to do with Daniel. Thank you very much. Okay. Spirit of the Antichrist, though, is what? That's where I got off of it. The spirit of the Antichrist can't get past a manifestation to get to the glory of God. I remember the first manifestation I ever encountered. I was about 10 or 11 years old. I went to a Baptist church, and I saw a grown man crying going down to the front. Scared the bejeebies out of me. Here we were in church. I was raised in the Methodist church. You didn't cry and go down to the front, but I was in the Methodist church. Grown man's crying, runs down to the front. Not only that, everybody was standing up. I was like, is everybody going to run up there or something? I had no personal experience to go with what I was encountering. Scared me to death. So, just understand, when people come in here, what might seem normal to us, if it's somebody else's first encounter, it's probably going to scare the bejeebies out of them. I just saw a man cry. It scared me within the inch of my life. I don't know if I'd ever seen a man cry up to that point or not. But to us in the faith, it's somewhat of a normal thing. But we want to understand, if somebody comes in here and something is going on, we want it to be God with the sincerity of our hearts and not the spirit of the Antichrist, which is the pride and the arrogance and all of that. So all of these things, which will be on your notes, is the spirit of the Antichrist. Also, this is other things in the verses 24 and 25, which is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, all of these things will come against the manifestation of the glory of God in this place. Remember, there's a battle going on between the Holy Spirit of God that was poured out in Acts 2 and the spirit of the Antichrist, which is going to increase as we get to this time. Now, it's not said, but I'm suspicious if the spirit of the Antichrist increases, also there's the power of the Spirit. I'm just suspicious. And I think that it's available to us. Daniel 26, and the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall not be for many days. So we can see this is what happens at the end of the vision of chapter 8. This is the central truth of the vision. The cutting off of 2,300 daily evenings and mornings sacrifices to the future Antichrist. The prophecy will not be fulfilled for a long time. In fact, it's been over 2,600 years since the prophecy was given. Isn't that amazing? And we're still looking for the last week here. And prophecy was given, and yet the main part of it remains to be fulfilled in the future great tribulation. If it's been going on for 2,600 years, you know we're closer than it's ever been. But 2,600 years, and we'll get into chapter 9 here real quickly. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but no one understood it. Now, how do I know for sure if you had a true vision from God? It's if you call me in a day or two and say, Alan, I'm sick in bed. Did you get it? What happened to him? And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. He just had this huge revelation and this huge full-flown vision. It affected him to a point made him sick of what he saw. And he rose up and he did the king's business and nobody understood it. Now it says this in 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now remember, the Apostle Paul here is speaking. This is 600 years or so afterwards. He says, hey, people, we're looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to get into Daniel chapter 9, and you're going to understand exactly why and when Jesus came. It is just so amazing. That we be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by the letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be what? Of falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, we can have a falling away at the same time you got a great harvest. The falling away are those that's been in. That can be us. Some people, I don't believe that you can lose your salvation, some can. I don't care. Either way, you're away from God. You're just not in the presence of God. So there's going to be a falling away. Well, it's not going to be the new harvest that's going to fall away. It's going to be the old harvesters that are going to fall away. So what's the spirit of the Antichrist trying to get us to do? It's trying to get us to fall away. Can you not feel it? That's what's after us. He's trying to get us to fall away. That is the big one that's after the believers. that are going to gather in the harvest. Is everybody getting that one? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple, showing himself that he is God. To Daniel it was prophecy, but to us some of it is history. So a lot of it's happened. You know the statue. We are the church. Now look here. It is our time and day. We have been chosen for this time and not another. We have been created for this time. You have been created for this time. You have been wired to receive the power of the Holy Spirit for this time. Are you with me? You have the power within you to forgive. Somebody say glory. You see, the lack of forgiveness is what stops forward motion. Now, lack of forgiveness is like a scotch into a wheel. Keeps you from rolling forward. God wants you to forgive because it's a good thing. But there's more than that. You can't roll forward until where... You can say, well, I'm still moving forward. Yeah, but not where God wants you to go. That's what it does. You now have the power to do it. We've been chosen for this time. Now, I've got in the, some charts of dreams and the visions given that'll be in, there in your notes. I'm going to get in this one little word here of an illusion. Now, this is out of the dictionary. It is a figure of speech in which one refers covertly or indirectly to an object or circumstance from an external context. It is left to the audience to make the connection. Now, illusions in Scripture is a prophetic terminology. Allusion is a brief and indirect reference to a person, place, or thing, an idea, or historical, cultural, literary, or political significance. It does not describe in detail the person or thing in which it refers. It is just a passing comment, and the writer expects the reader to possess enough knowledge to spot the allusion and grasp its importance in the text. And that's what's going on in the book of Daniel. We have symbols and we have types. It creates what's... an allusion is you are alluding to something. Is what you're doing. And it says the writer expects the reader, in other words, when he's writing, to possess enough knowledge, like in the book of Daniel, he's expecting you to have enough knowledge to know what he's talking about, to spot the illusion. Now, here's some Old Testament ones in your notes. There's some New Testament ones, and that's Daniel 8. Now, I'm going to go to Daniel 9. And I've got 5 minutes just to start an introduction on Daniel 9. Now, with Daniel 9, we see in the beginning here, now this is very important, especially to intercessors. Because in Daniel 9, the most of the chapter of Daniel 9 is a prayer. So, and here's your, there again, for your notes, but in chapter 9, it's about the 70 weeks. Everybody ever... here referred to the 70 weeks of Daniel. Over and over, you'll hear reference to the 70 weeks of Daniel. We know that 69 weeks has happened, and we're waiting on the last week yet. But this is chapter 9 is dealing with this topic of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Now, this is Jesus' confidential briefing on his second coming. In other words, Jesus is given brief information here on his second coming, which is spoken of in Daniel chapter 9. It's Matthew 24:25, Mark 13, Luke 21. Remember, you read this in light of Daniel 9. Now, and this will be in your notes, call it Jesus' confidential briefing. We go down to Matthew 24:25. Oh, at the top it says, the four disciples ask about his return, Peter, James, and John, Andrew. They ask about his return. Now, in Matthew 24:25, we're going to read it right quickly. Now, he is referring to his second coming. It's called the Olivet Discourse, or Olivet Prophecy. It's a biblical passage found in Mark 13, Matthew 24, Luke 21. It is known as the Little Apocalypse. Isn't that something? Because it includes Jesus' description of the end times. the use of apocalyptic language in Jesus' warning to his followers that they will suffer tribulation, persecution before the ultimate triumphant of the kingdom of God. The Olivet Discourse is the last of the five discourses of Matthew and occurs just before the narrative of Jesus' passion, beginning with the anointing of Jesus. In this narrative is a discourse, a sermon given by Jesus on the Mount of Olives. Therefore, we get the name the Olivet Discourse. Now, Matthew 24:3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, now keep this in mind, comparing it to Daniel 9 and the Second Coming. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the what? The end of the world. Now, basically, the disciples had three questions. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? What shall be the sign of the end of the world? So, in Daniel 9, we'll begin here next week. We're going to be talking about these signs of the end, the signs of His coming, and you're going to be absolutely amazed. Listen, it's closer than you think. His coming is here. Everything that you think is so important right now is going to move into a dim, dim area. I remember when I was told I had 3 months to live, all of a sudden everything that I thought was important didn't mean anything. And all of a sudden those things that were important, they just came up like a neon light. And they were all built around the kingdom of God. So, we are at that place. We are at that time. I told you my job is to warn and tell you His coming is at hand. I know the voices that say, well, Alan, it's been at hand for a long time. The only thing I can tell you is that the church age is now. We are to shine right before His coming. And for some reason, I've been given personal permission to announce His coming. And I believe He's coming very soon. So, Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You for today. Thank You for the book of Daniel. Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name that our understanding of the book of Daniel would be pretty good. But that we would catch the spirit of the book of Daniel would be real good. And I pray, O God, that the wind of Your Spirit would blow into our hearts and through our lives. Dear God, I pray that as Your Spirit and Your presence is in this place, there's manifestations in this place, people crying or whatever, I pray, O God, we'll be looking for Your glory. It is not our intent, O God, to personally offend anyone, because then we know we would have to go to Him and ask for forgiveness. But Lord, if Your Spirit offends, let it offend us all and me first. Let us be offended, O God. Let us learn, but let us grow. Weed us, O God. God, weed out the tares in our hearts. Let us become good wheat. Dear God, just take hold of us. Let us not leave the same way as we came. Let us be stretched a little bit, O God. Help us to tune in to Your channel and the power of Your Spirit. Dear God, we don't want to look odd, phony, or wild, but we do want to be very peculiar, that we might be a witness that we're Your children. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. 15 minutes.